Welcome to the Maplewood Nazarene Podcast. Our faith family meets at 110 Longview Avenue in Springfield, Ohio on Sundays at 10:30 a.m. At Maplewood, we're learning to love God and learning to love others. For more information, visit our website at maplewoodnazarene.org or find us on Facebook. Now, it's time for this week's message.
We are continuing this week in our series throughout the summer. We're talking about these revelations that Jesus is making about himself and how his identity impacts who we are as people. And we're not the same people we were before we met Jesus. Amen? Amen. We are different. We are being changed. We are being transformed into his likeness. And we talked a couple of weeks ago about how Paul tells the Galatians, I am crucified with Christ and I no longer live, but it is Christ who lives within me. And that's a very powerful, inspiring statement. But sometimes we have to step back and say, what in the world does that mean? And so we're exploring what it means to be crucified in Christ and what it means to have him living in us instead of us kind of having control of who our personal identity is. So this week we're moving into another revelation by Jesus of who he is. And I'm going to start this morning by kind of pointing us to this very dramatic story that we've all been kind of watching. We watched for 18 days, and I'm talking about how the whole world was captivated by the dramatic plight of these young men in Thailand who were lost and trapped in this massive cave for days on end. These boys and their coaches, it was a soccer team, they were feared lost. Somebody came up on the road one day and just saw their bicycles there. And nobody was there, and somebody put two and two together. It's like, oh my goodness, they went into the caves, and then it started raining, and the water pushed them further back into these caves. They had just stopped by to rest. They were just doing some recreational spelunking. Any spelunkers in here? Spelunking? Just a little bit of cave dwelling. They were just doing some recreational exploration. The floods come in, force them deep in, and they have no way out. There's no way out. They were lost. They were trapped in darkness. Very, very dramatic story. And I think all of us can identify with this because most of us have been in a cave at one time or another. We've all got children. And we all can identify with, oh my gosh, what if that were my kids? So the rescuers that were trying to find these kids, they had to bring in cave experts. They had to bring in people who knew these caves, that knew this area well. And even then, it's said as you read the stories about this, that it was just this incredible miracle that they were actually able to find those boys. Even for the people who knew those caves so well, they said, we don't know if we'll ever be able to find them. But they found them. They were able to locate them. And then even after they found them, and we were all watching this on television and we were watching it on our Facebook feeds, even after they found them, it took expert Navy SEAL divers. They had to bring the Thailand Navy SEALs in and expert guides to help map the way out of the cave for these boys and their coach to the light of day, to safety, back to their families. I was reading a Wall Street Journal story this past week that painted the picture of just how complex and narrow the path was for these boys to get out of that cave. There was only one way out. There was only one way out, and it was wrought with danger. In some places, the path went way down, and then it would go way up. And in those places where the path went way down, it got more narrow and more narrow and more narrow. Anybody claustrophobic? Uh-huh. Yeah, can you imagine that? And those narrow, narrow things that went way, they filled with water. And so they had to totally like go underwater to get through the passage to get out. These boys, they needed a guide. They could not get out on there. There was no way they were going to get out of this dark cave that they had been lost in by themselves. If they tried to get out by themselves, they would die. And it was, so dramatic that the entire globe was fixated on this story. Would the boys be rescued? We were sitting in Sunday school last Sunday, and we were talking about pray for those boys in Thailand. And at that time, they had rescued four. And then on Monday, they had rescued two or three more. And then on Wednesday, they finally brought them all out. 18 days, they were able to rescue them, but they needed a guide to find their way to safety. So this morning, we're going to focus on Jesus and his proclamation to his disciples in John chapter 14, verse 6. Jesus proclaims, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. There's no other way to the Father except through me." He says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." Over the past several weeks, we've been exploring how the identity of Christ has an impact on each and every one of us. Jesus, his identity has had an impact on each and every one of our personal identities. We are not the same person we were before Jesus came into our lives. Amen? Aren't you glad you're not the same person you was? We've been studying how the revelations that Jesus makes about himself, he says, "I am." And he's playing on words as he says, "I am," because God identified himself as "I am." And we've been studying these revelations that Jesus makes about himself, not only to tell us about who Jesus is. So these "I am" statements totally inform us of who Jesus is, but they also have a tremendous influence on who we are becoming as disciples of Jesus Christ. This is what it means when we say, "I've been crucified with Christ. I no longer live, but Christ is living within me." What does that mean? We find it out as we interpret who Jesus is and how his identity impacts our identity. And so here's I put up on the screen today, I wanted to recap for you real quick a few of the ways that we're finding out how Jesus' identity impacts our identity. Jason, flip that to the next slide. And we're going to keep us up here for a minute. The letter's a little small, but I'm going to walk through these real quick because I want to remind you of the ground we've already traveled in this series, okay? First of all, since Jesus says, "I am the light of the world," we talked about that a couple of weeks ago. Since Jesus says, "I'm the light of the world," we as his disciples are enlightened as to what's really going on. Because Jesus is the light and he makes it known to us that we have this problem. He makes it known to us that we need rescued. We have this sin problem. There's no way we can get out on our own. We're just like those boys in that cave. There's no way out of this mess except through Jesus, who's the light of the world. He's the one who tells us, "You're lost. You're in the cave and you don't know the way out. I'm just letting you know you're lost." So Jesus enlightens us. Since Jesus says, "I'm the gate," a couple of weeks ago, we talked about Jesus saying, "I am the gate." And since he says, "I'm the gate," we are always in God's presence. If he's the gate, that means that we are always in God's presence. We carry the temple of God around with us and these broken vessels every day because he's the gate. He gives us direct access to God. And we talked about how we no longer go someplace to encounter God. Since Jesus is the gate, we no longer have to go someplace like in the Old Testament, they had to go to a temple. Jesus is with us all the time. And through Christ, we are always in God's presence. And the practical implication of that is that we should act like we're always in God's presence. We should live like God is always with us because God is always with us. That should have an impact on our moral character. Our moral character before Jesus, when we were making not so moral decisions, compared to after Jesus becomes an influence in our life and we follow him, our moral decisions change. Our personal integrity is developed. And then last week, didn't Ed do a great job last week? He did a fantastic job. Ed and Melissa are in Florida right now. But he just did a great job. And he helped us see that since Jesus says, "I am the resurrection and the life," that we as his followers, since Jesus is the resurrection, raised from the dead, we have hope. Amen? Amen. We have hope because Jesus is the resurrection. We don't have to fear death anymore. We don't have to be afraid of death or taxes. How about that? We don't have to fear death. We have hope. And Ed did a great job last week of talking about how not only did Jesus raise Lazarus from the dead, but he called him out from the tomb and he called him out of his old messy life and his old filthy dead grave clothes. And he brought him into new life. And he brought him out into this new existence. And so Jesus, as the resurrection, not only does he give us hope, so that we don't have to worry about death anymore. He gives us hope because we don't have to worry about that old, nasty, smelly life that we were living in. Jesus calls us out of that and into something new, into a new life. Amen. He reboots us. He restarts us. He gives us this second chance. So here we are this week in John chapter 14, verse 6. Jesus is saying, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And so here's where we're going this morning. Simply put, since Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, we, his followers, know exactly which way to go. Amen. Since Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, we know exactly which way to go. We're going to break it down really easy this morning. This is the simplest sermon you'll ever hear. First of all, Jesus is the way. He's the way. He is the path. He is the path. Just as a road has boundaries, we drove from Marysville to Springfield today, and every road that you drive on, most of them, they have yellow line down the middle, white line on the side, right? And as a person who's been trained to drive in the state of Ohio, it is your job to drive within those boundaries. You're supposed to, amen, right? You're supposed to, on a two-lane road, you're supposed to stay on the right side of the road. And if you drive on the left side of the road, there's going to be trouble. There's going to be trouble. You're going to run into traffic, literally. So just as a road has boundaries, the way of Jesus creates boundaries for us to live our lives. When we stay in the lines via his way, we live in truth. In those lines, when we stay on that path, we're living in truth. One of the most challenging skills to master as a new driver is to, you know, if you take yourself back, for those of you who drive, it's learning how to control that car and at speed, keep the car in the lines, keep the boundaries in play, and to keep that car in between those lines. For many of us who've driven for years, we don't even think about it. We just, you know, I'm sitting here, my sunglasses on, just kind of cruising down the road with one hand, maybe even my wrist. I'm looking really cool, Brianna, too. I mean, it's pretty hip in my cross tour. But I'm just, you know, driving down the road, and I can do it with one hand. I can stay between those lines. But for a new driver, keeping the car in between the lines is a skill that needs developed. I mean, both hands on the wheel. Jesus, take the wheel, right? Help me keep this car on track. It takes practice. Because, you know, you're going at speed and you're going down the road, and if you hit a curve, you've got to keep that car in between those lines. And we who drive and are used to it take that skill for granted. It's something we just do easily. But for a new driver, it takes practice. It takes discipline. It takes a desire to want to do it. You actually have to have a desire to want to learn how to drive that car. If you don't have a lot of desire, you're not going to get very good at it. We've got to want to do it. We've got to want to learn to get better. We have to have the desire to do it. And I think the same thing is true when we follow Jesus. The same thing is true. We have to want to do it. You have to will your way into this life as being a disciple. And sometimes it feels awkward when you're trying to keep your life in between the lines. You're like, I'm not used to this. This feels awkward. And sometimes we mess up. And sometimes we go outside of the line and we go off the road and we got to get the car back on the road. And it's messy, this process of living in Jesus. Last summer, I think I told you guys this, but last summer, I'm a kid at heart. You know, I'm like 12 years old. No, really. I'm like inside. I'm like 12 years old. And so like last summer, I'm at Walmart and I had this like, this moment where, you know, like the music played and it was just me and it was the toy drone on the shelf. And I made an impulse. I never make impulse buys. Do I make impulse buys? I never do this, but I bought a drone, you know, the propellers and everything, the remote control. And so I buy this drone and I was so excited to try it out, and I got it home and I took it out of the box and I charged it up, and I figured, you know, I'm going to take this out to my backyard and I'm going to try to fly this thing around. This is cool. I'm excited. I get a toy to play with, Roy. This is going to be great. My backyard is not like your backyard, friend. Mine's a little bit more compact, a little less space. You guys saw pictures of my yard a couple weeks ago. So I turn this thing on and I'm adjusting the controls. It's almost like a video game, you know, you're like, you got this radio control, and I adjust the controls, and it's got a button. It's awesome. It says liftoff, and you just push the button and it goes up off the ground. and you control the throttle. And so I'm starting to play with the throttle, and I start going to the left. I'm like, whoa, I need to bring it back to the right a little bit this way. I overcorrect it to the right, and then I bring it back to the left, and I stabilize this thing. And this is in the middle of my yard with all of my trees and all this stuff. And then it started tilting to the left, and it started going, and I'm like, oh my gosh, it's going to go over and hit the neighbor's house. You know, and I'm like, and I'm like in Panicsville. I don't have control of this device because I haven't developed the skills, and I'm dumber than dumb trying to fly it in my backyard anyhow because there's not enough space. And not only is there a launch button, thank goodness there's a panic button. And the panic button, when you push the panic button, it just kind of, it's like a bird shot in the air. It just stops and just drops. And so I hit the panic button and it dropped to the ground. I was still learning the way. And I'm sure one of my neighbors was probably videotaping that and going, this will be great on YouTube. It was awkward. I had no control over that drone. It was messy. Thank goodness I didn't do any damage. I'm like, does my insurance policy cover this? And I like went to work the next day and was asking questions. It was risky. Somebody could have got hurt. Somebody literally could have got hurt. And folks, when we are learning to live in the way of Jesus, it's risky. Because the decisions that we make have consequences outside of our own lives, outside of our own paths. And so it's awkward and messy and risky. That's how it can feel sometimes when we're learning to follow the way of Jesus, when we're learning to drive in between the lines and keep the vehicle on the road. The way of Jesus, it's leading us out of our old life, and it's leading us into a new way of living. Where does that path go? Into new life. He's leading us into new life. Just as Ed taught us last week, Jesus calls us out of our smelly grave clothes. And he's leading us into something new and beautiful. And that means we have to start letting go of old habits. What's the way of Jesus? That means what we used to do back in the mess. Maybe we're not doing some of that stuff anymore. Maybe there are habits. Maybe there are behaviors, forms of speech. Maybe there are attitudes that Jesus is calling us out of, and he's calling us into something new. He's calling us into something brand new. Since Jesus is the way, I know exactly which way I need to be going. Since Jesus is the way, I know which way to go. So Jesus is the light. He's the way. He's also the truth. Jesus is the way. Jesus is the truth. Since Jesus is the truth, I find true meaning and true fulfillment as I follow him. As I follow him. That's the key part of that phrase. I find true meaning and fulfillment in life as I follow the way. See how these are all connected? The way is connected to the truth. When we are not living in truth, and I'll just boil it down to its simplest form this morning. When we're not living in truth, deep down, we experience guilt. We experience conviction of our heart. We know we shouldn't be doing what we be doing. Right? Come on now. When we are not living in truth, we experience shame. When we are not living, if you are ashamed of your behavior or your words or your actions, if you feel in shame, you are not living in truth. That's a sign. It's one of those boundaries that God's one of those lines on the road. When we are not living in truth, a consequence of not living in truth is regret. Anybody have regrets? We all have them. And those regrets come from a place deep within us because we know we regret something we did in the past, and what we were doing in the past, we were not living in truth. And we regret it because it wasn't true. And it had bad consequences in our lives. We wish, when we're not living in truth, we wish we could hit that rewind button on the tape. I wish I could have a do-over. I wish I could go back and do that whole thing over again. I wish I could go back and just reset the table so none of that happened ever before, and I could do it over. So when we're not living in truth, guilt, shame, regret are things that we feel. But when we live in truth, when we live in the truth, like, what's the truth? Is that the truth or a lie? Well, a good sign that something is true, there is no guilt anymore. When you're living in truth and authenticity, there's no guilt in that. You don't feel guilty for living in the truth. There's no shame. There's no regret. There's no wish for a second chance to hit the rewind button when we're living in truth. Living in truth feels right.
Amen.
Living in truth feels natural because it's aligned for how God intended us to live in the first place. And I am amazed at how many people who choose to live in guilt and regret and shame, and they choose not to live in truth where there is no guilt, where there is no regret, where there is no shame. I'm amazed how many people choose to live in their smelly grave clothes rather than come out and live into some new way of life that is true. What is truth? I think we taught the kids at Bible school. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, self-control. Galatians chapter 6, we read about the fruit of the Spirit, right? Fruit of the Spirit, Paul actually says about the fruit of the Spirit, against such things, there is no law. There's no law against the fruit of the Spirit because that's the way you're supposed to live. That's truth. Jesus is the way. Jesus is the truth. That's how he wants us to live, as agents of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. That's truth. That's how God wants us to live. So Jesus is the way, Jesus is the truth, and Jesus is the life. All right? Jesus is life. When we follow the way, when we're living in truth, no shame, no regret, then we tap into life. Then we tap into the life-giving, life-restoring, life-sustaining power of Jesus Christ. We've got to follow the way. We've got to live in truth. And then we experience true life. As we follow the way, as we live in truth, as a follower of Jesus, it charges your batteries up. It charges your spiritual batteries up with real life-giving power. As we get to know Jesus more and more, the way we need to go becomes clearer and clearer. I don't know which way to go. Just take one step at a time. One step in obedience, the next step will be revealed to you. As we get to know Jesus more, the way we need to go becomes more and more clear. There's no question about how to live. You know, when we start in this journey with Jesus, there's all these questions about what's right or wrong. The more we live with Jesus, the more it turns into a lifestyle. There's no question about how to live, what to do, where to go, because Jesus clearly has shown his followers what to do. Jesus is more than a map. Jesus is more than a map. It's not just about if you just followed his footsteps on where to go geographically. He's more than a map. He is the living example for how he wants his followers to live. Amen?
Amen.
He's the living example for how we should live. As we live in his way, he will reveal the way his followers should go. Anybody have one of these? Right? We all live with these cell phones these days. And, you know, these things are great, but they're useless unless you plug it in and recharge those batteries every night, right? I was in a meeting at work earlier this week, and one of my coworkers sent an emergency text and email to everybody. And they were like, does anybody on the team have an Android charger cord? And we all knew what was going on, right? Somebody had forgotten to charge their phone, and their phone was dying. And she was, like, desperate to plug in. She was desperate to recharge. And that's the same way it works as we're living in the way and the truth. We have no life. We have no charge in our life. We have no battery charge spiritually if we're not living in the way, if we're not living in the truth, if we're not plugged into Jesus. We're useless. Because these phones, when they run out of battery power, it's just a really expensive piece of circuitry. It's worthless. So as we love, as we serve, as we deny self, as we put others first, as we lay our lives down for others, that's how we plug in to the way of Jesus. That's how you plug in. Love in others. Serving others, denying self, putting others first, laying our lives down for other people. And when we stay in the lines on this new path, when we live in truth and when we stay plugged in, it gives us real life. So the way we stay plugged into Jesus is we stay on the path. We stay in the way. As we live in the way and we live in truth, He pours spiritual electricity into our souls. And He energizes us. And He gives us a power from outside of ourselves that comes into us and helps us realize our full potential. But we got to plug in to realize the full potential of Jesus Christ. And when we do, it recharges our batteries. We're energized to do more and more living in Jesus. We're motivated to serve. We're inspired. We're enabled. We're empowered. We're fulfilled. Boy, I tell you what, we had this electricity happening in Sunday school class this morning. We were just sharing about how Jesus is living in our lives, or how he's influencing, how he's making an impact in our lives. And it was very powerful to hear different people talking about how the Lord is working in their life. And it's very inspiring when you hear that to want to go deeper with Jesus yourself. So don't discount what's going on in your life right now. Share it with somebody else, because you may be the electricity that recharges and energizes somebody else by sharing what Jesus is doing in your life. Don't keep that all bottled up. Don't keep that little light. Let your light shine. Let your light shine. Since Jesus says, "I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life," we know exactly which way to go. All right? Question for each of us is, am I following His lead in my life? Jesus is the way, He's the truth, He's the life. The question is, are we following Him? Are we going the direction He wants us to go? Am I living between the lines? Am I living within the boundaries? Am I plugged in to Jesus? We have to be careful, church, because there are many dangers and there are many potholes along the way. I think sometimes we live life and we like to take the risk. Hey, I know I should plug my phone in tonight because I'm going to need it tomorrow, but I'm going to take the risk and I'm not going to plug it in tonight. And then you get into tomorrow and because you didn't plug in, you run out of juice and you become useless. We got to be careful. We need to stay plugged in so that we can manage the difficulties of life. There are many potential wrong turns that we can take on this road that could send us down a road of regret. Even if you've been saved and sanctified for 50 years, there are dangers and potholes for each and every one of us. I'm thinking today of those boys in Thailand who were rescued. Okay? The only way to safety, the only way to survival was by literally putting their lives in the hands of the rescuers. They could not get out under their own power. They had to literally put their lives in the hands of the rescuers who could guide them the one true way out. You know, and it wasn't one of those things where it was like, "Melanie, take me by the hand. I'm going to take you out of here and I'm going to guide you out." It wasn't that. If you read the stories about how these boys were rescued, they put them in stretchers. They strapped them down. They put scuba gear on them. And then they sedated them so that they wouldn't panic. on the way out. They totally had, talk about surrender. That's a picture of surrender, right? For those of us who are claustrophobic, oh my goodness. Yeah, give me the sedative. Give me the sedative, a double dose. They had to put their lives in the hands of the rescuer who could show them the only one true way out. Had they tried to do it on their own, they surely would have perished in a panic. They would have not made it out. But with a guide who knew the way and with the right stuff to take them out, they were led to safety. They were led to daylight. They were led to life. And today, I read in the paper, they're all getting out of the hospital like Monday or Tuesday, and they're all just totally wanting KFC. Everybody needs a little KFC. I'm so thankful that as a follower of Jesus, I know the way to go. Amen? Aren't you thankful? I know the way to go. But church, knowing the way to go, I know the compass tells me I need to go this way. I know the word tells me I need to go this way. Knowing the way to go and actually going the right way are two separate things.
Amen.
Two separate things. We must always be asking ourselves this question as followers of Jesus. How does my life measure up to the way of Christ? We always need to be doing that personal evaluation. We always need to be taking stock. I know the way. I've been in church all my life. I can recite the scripture by heart. I know exactly what's going to happen in the service this morning. I know that story. I can finish it for you, Pastor. I know the way, but am I actually going the way in my actions, in my attitudes, where my heart is at? It takes practice. It takes patience. It takes persistence. Church, you have to want to do it. Nobody else can do this for you. You've got to choose to follow Jesus, and you've got to choose to stay on the path. And as we do, electricity into our souls, we are transformed into new creations. As I choose to plug in, He gives us life. It can feel awkward. It can feel messy. We don't have all the answers when we start down this path, and we may not have all the answers. We may not understand everything that the Bible's saying, but He gives us the body of Christ and the church for us to all figure it out together. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad?
Amen.
That you don't have to figure this all out on your own? It can feel awkward and messy. It can be risky, but the reward, think about this, the reward, no guilt, no shame. Real life, real living. It's all worth it because there is really only one way out. And that's Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life. So in closing today, we're just going to wrap things up here. Are we doing all we can? Are you doing all you can today? You take stock. Are you doing all you can today to follow the way of Jesus in your life? He's made you aware of all this stuff. What are you doing with it? Are we doing everything we need to be doing with the way He's showing? Are we doing all we can to follow Him? Are we feeling tempted to take a wrong turn? Because once you get saved, we are not saved from temptation. I hate to break the news. Well, we are all tempted in many ways. And guess what? He was too. And yet He was without sin. He showed us that it's possible to choose His way. So as you're walking, as you're following Jesus, and this is just, the enemy is desperate to make you fail. The enemy is desperate to suck you back into your old life. And so as the more we increase our desire and energy to follow Jesus, the enemy is going to try to tempt us to take a wrong turn. You know, and I always correlate the enemy's temptations with God's about to do something really awesome because the temptation level ramps up. And God will show us the way out, right? His word says you're going to be tempted. There's always a way out. You're like, I can't resist. The devil made me do it. Lies. You, I, we actively choose whether or not we're going to follow the way of Jesus. Are we doing all we can? Or has he shown us some stuff and we've kind of parking lotted it over here? I'll deal with that later, Chuck, on my own time, right? You know what I'm talking about? I do this. I'm just being real with you. Are we struggling to stay in the lines? Are we plugging into him regularly? I'm glad you're here this morning. I really am. You're plugging in. And as we plug in, as we expose ourselves to the word, it shows us the way to go. And as we do it, we get life. But you have to do something more than just come here on Sunday morning. You have to go out there and live it in order to receive this life. There's no better time than today for a course correction. You know, there's no better time than right now to apply the brakes, slow down, reorient ourselves to the cross of Jesus, and move forward in the way. Move forward in truth. Move forward in real life.
Thank you for listening to the Maplewood Nazarene Podcast. Maplewood Nazarene is affiliated with the Global Church of the Nazarene, a Wesleyan Holiness denomination with congregations all across the world. If you are in Springfield, look us up at 110 Lawnview Avenue, or you can find us on Facebook or at www.maplewoodnazarene.org.